So, with much undue protesting from me before I found out what the film was, Three Musketeers.
Yes, this film, The Three Musketeers, 1973, which astonishingly was not picked by Laura, but by me.
I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Glad that's been fixed.
I'm very glad.
You made some reference when I announced it to this being a film that you were like desperate to see, or you sounded very happy when I
Well, because I got it confused. So I had put on the first sort of 10-15 minutes of The Return of the Musketeers, okay. The third film in this franchise.
Oh my God.
Not realizing that it was a sequel.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just like a weird standalone, oh, cool, they're doing a different plot. But I think I sort of got a bit fed up because I couldn't really understand what was happening because I didn't have any of the, you know, obviously it starts quite far into the story. I thought, this is shit.
I'm glad you managed it.
I would have gone back to it one day. But no, it was a great revelation to find out, oh, this is the, there's a first, you know, I was confused basically that I'd started The Return of the Musketeers. And actually, right before the meeting, I watched the first half an hour of The Four Musketeers.
I've got that queued up ready to watch on BritBox. Very excited.
You won't be disappointed.
So what did we think? Claire, I'm desperate to know.
Really? Are you?
I am.
I hated it.
Oh, no.
I knew that would happen.
It was so terrible. So terrible.
You weren't sure, Michael. I wasn't sure. This is a film I could have picked.
Yeah, but sometimes Claire just sort of weirdly really goes for it.
Yeah, sometimes. Not this type of film. Not last time.
Oh, okay.
I've never known Claire to go for this type of film.
Fernando?
I really liked it. I thought it was one of the best films ever made.
Excellent. Even better than A Knight's Tale.
Even, what is it? Did we ever watch Knight's Tale?
Yeah, remember Heath Ledger and modern music, and there were knights jousting and things.
Oh, right. And that's also really good. That those two are incomparable. They're really good.
Yep. And Laura, you liked it?
Obviously.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Within the first, I'd say, fraction of a second, I was like, yes. Fantastic. Love this.
Oh, no.
And I have to say, I liked it as well. This is pretty good. It wasn't what I was expecting, I have to say.
No,
I was expecting a good film.
Oh, were you?
Right.
Your outburst when I announced it didn't sound like you were expecting a good film.
I can't even remember now.
You said something like, oh, what?
That sounds like me. I stand by my oh, what?
Right. So the reason I thought you might like it is... This was directed by, and you could tell it was directed by Richard Lester, who did the Beatles film Help,
which
I love because it's silly fun with lots of throwaway lines. It never takes itself too seriously. An entertaining couple of hours all the way through. But something about this didn't tickle you in the same way, right?
No, and I was trying to work out what that difference was. And I don't know if it's because I was already endeared to the Beatles before I watched the film, therefore I felt like I was sort of in on the joke with them. And this one, there were these characters I was supposed to get along with or something, but yeah, it just didn't work for me at all. The comedy was, it just seemed ridiculous, like... And not in a cool way. So I found it quite difficult to watch the whole thing.
I'm sorry about that.
I read this was meant to be a Beatles film.
No.
Well, I took it up with Wikipedia. That's...
Oh, so they would be the three
Musketeers and D'Artagnan.
Oh, that would have been brilliant.
I wonder who would have been who.
Oh, and then the Beatles
would have
broke
D'Artagnan
up.
Would have been.
Is that Ringo?
Oh, yeah. It's got to be a Ringo.
Yeah. Yeah, good call.
I reckon George Harrison is Aramis. John Lennon is Athos. Maybe. Yep. Athos is kind of like the leader, isn't he?
Leaves Paul McCartney as Portos. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I didn't really think they had a leader.
Oh, I see. Athos is kind of the...
Was that Oliver Reed?
Yes.
Yeah, he was the leader, I think.
He was the sort of cynical, slightly hardened one, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Portos was the quite silly...
Brash, jolly.
Lumping sort of one. And yeah, Aramis was the handsome one.
Pensive as well, I think.
Yeah, okay.
He's the one who's devoted to prayer and women.
Oh, yeah.
And where's... Oh, right, okay, yeah, that's definitely George then. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm with you.
Yep.
Well, that's amazing.
I was excited to cast ourselves as well because I did it immediately. Now I'm wondering...
Oh, we can do a lot with that.
But let's save it for later.
Okay. I'll look forward to that. Fernando, what was your... Why was Claire wrong about this film?
Well, I can maybe point out to the best chess game ever played with animals.
Yes, agree. Leave my eyes when I saw that. Like, best thing to ever be committed to film. Why don't we play chess with dogs?
I think the end of the chess match showed why we don't play chess with dogs.
No, I think the end of the chess match shows why we should all play chess with dogs.
Yes, there we are.
What else? Well, everyone seemed to be gay.
I mean, Laura, you sound a lot like Fernando there.
What else? Well, aren't those two enough?
Yeah, maybe that's enough.
I'm not convinced.
Yeah, why did you like it so much, Michael?
I like help, and I like silly, fun films that don't take themselves too seriously. There was a lot going on. There was a lot to laugh at. That through that, there was still a reasonable story that you kind of want to. You want the good guys to do well, and you want the bad guys to fail.
Well, I slightly disagree.
Okay, I liked all of the stunts. Again, they were silly, fun. I was hoping it would be a bit more epic and kind of cool while being fun. Basically, I was hoping for Errol Flynn's 1938 Adventures of Robin Hood, which was fun, but also had some... it was a proper, cool, epic film as well. And this was just a farce all the way through, which took me by surprise, but which I also still quite liked. Yep, laughed a lot, had a great time.
Lovely.
What's everyone's history with The Three Musketeers? Has anyone read it? Has anyone seen other versions?
Oh, I mean, I've seen most of them, I reckon.
Oh, really?
Apart from the new French one.
Yeah.
Which I tried to watch, but was unsuccessful, because it turns out there was another Three Musketeers film released that year, and I watched that one instead.
Yeah, okay. Rubbish. So I tried to get hold of the French one that came out last year. This is what started me thinking about this. In fact, you and I saw the trailer for it in the cinema when we went to watch Napoleon. And we sort of said, oh, that looks good. We can watch that. I couldn't find a version of the French one that had acceptable English subtitles.
Oh.
And I don't speak fluent French, so that was sort of that blown away. I might have to, buy a Blu-ray or something. But...
Can't Fernando subtitle it for us?
Oh, there's an idea. How's your French, Fernando?
You could translate it into Spanish first and then English.
That's true. Maybe I should do that.
Hang on, that doesn't help. I tried to watch that, couldn't. But while I was looking for it, I stumbled across this 1973 film that was apparently well received. And I thought, oh, that looks good, because that'll be a standalone film rather than the first in a massive series I'm going to have to watch. And lo and behold, it ended with it saying, "And now, why don't you go and watch The Four Musketeers coming out this year?
Here's a montage of it."
Yeah, excellent cheesy montage of it that made it look like a lot of fun. And I will be watching that.
I don't want to spoil it, but the first one starts with a montage of the last film.
It starts what?
The Four Musketeers starts with a montage of the last film.
Oh, perfect. That's what I want. Ah. Oh. Yeah, bring
last
it on.
Week on Musketeers.
It reminded me of, like, there's not a lot of films that do that, right?
The I've only never one seen I, it before.
Well, I think the second Back to the Future film tells you to go and see the third one that's coming soon and has a little mashup of trains falling off things and him in the Wild West, which is, again, feels very weird and all over the place, but it's quite exciting, quite fun. And the other one I'm thinking of was James Bond films all end with James Bond will return. Ding, 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 ding.
Well, is that not a thing in the, what are they called, Marvel movies? They always do like that teaser at the end, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they show you a little clip. Slightly different though, I suppose.
Yeah, it's hinting like, at something.
From the, that scene never appears in the next film. It just gives you a...
I see.
Hint of what's to come.
Yeah, it's not really a montage.
Yeah.
Also related, but not quite the same. Maybe The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions, because they both came out in the same year, I think.
Hmm. Yeah, they definitely went together as a pair, didn't they? But there was no sort of cheesy coming soon, like, trailer.
Maybe there was. It was just hidden in the second film.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I never watched the credits all the way to the end. Right, what can we say about this film then? Where do we get our teeth into our histories? Oh, yeah. So Laura's a massive musketeer head.
I've reckon I've seen four versions. By the sounds of
it, hasn't read it.
Hasn't read it. Four versions. I don't actually like the story that much, to be honest. I enjoy the capering. Oh, going to England, get the diamonds back, return them. I mean, I've seen it three times now. The fourth version, very different story.
Oh.
That was the 90s, hey? They were all on cocaine.
Oh, well, I don't know about that one.
Leo DiCaprio in, and let's have a fun.
Interesting. So this broadly followed the plot of the book, did it?
Yes.
Or the plot of the first bit of the book?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Was it one book? Do you know?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
Probably.
So that's cool.
Do math. One of those big paperweight books with 1,000 pages.
Massive
tome. Made up of rambling short stories that don't go anywhere.
Three chapters about someone who dies in the first scene. Yeah, okay.
Chapter describing someone's shapely legs in detail.
Chapter that's people just shouting naval jargon at each other. Claire, any experience of musketeers?
No.
Really?
Okay. Yep, none.
You didn't like them? I can't believe it.
I don't know what to tell you.
Concept alone is surely great. Sorry? Just the concept, even if they didn't like the film, but you know, it's a good adventure tale, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Do you imagine that it could have been a story that entertained you if it had been done in a more serious way or by a more serious director?
I don't know.
Cool. And Fernando, have you come across this series before?
I don't think so. This might have been my first experience with the Musketeers.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. So I've always kind of fancied reading The Three Musketeers, but obviously it's massive and I'm never going to do it. So I've watched there was a film in the 40s that had Gene Kelly, which I have watched. I watched it with my mum, and that it was a while ago, so I couldn't remember it too well, but I seem to remember it had an extremely different tone from this.
I've seen bits of that.
Yeah, I seem to remember you watched the first bit and you went to bed because you were bored.
That's consistent.
Yeah.
But maybe the story just isn't for me.
Okay. Yeah, that was a really weird one where it had all this stuff, but like someone was put to death and there was like a lengthy sequence that was really harrowing in between all these sort of fun japes and stuff, and I just didn't know what to think. And I don't know which one is closer to the original.
Duma was quite... some, wasn't it?
Because the Three Musketeers is sort of a byword for swashbuckling, jolly adventure.
Mm.
But Laura, out of the four, how many had this light-hearted swashbuckling feel? And how many had this completely farcical, ridiculous feel?
So I'm trying to remember. I think because the 90s one have such distinct 90s vibes. Also, I was forgetting one. I think I've seen five versions now.
Oh.
if we're counting The Man in the Iron Mask, which I think we are because it's got Athos, Porthos and Aramis.
Okay.
I think The Man in the Iron Mask, yeah, 90s, it's very silly, but not on purpose, I don't think.
Serious.
That might go for the other 90s film, which is just The Three Musketeers, which stars, yeah. Who's his name?
Charlie Sheen?
Charlie Sheen, that's it.
Oh, no.
So that gives it a sort of vibe. You can. So again, I think it does try and take itself a bit seriously. And then the modern one, I can barely remember because it was so crap, but it was not that lighthearted, I don't think. It was just a bit cheaply done.
Okay.
So these are the fun swashbuckling ones. The ones with the Gene Kelly and... But yeah, the Gene Kelly one has some random moments of really dark...
Yeah, it was appalling.
Yeah.
I could only assume that it was because they'd like vowed to stick to the original plot from the book.
Yeah, I think so.
For better or worse. Yeah. Also had Angela Lansbury in it, which is part of what really attracted me to it, but no, it wasn't up to much. Okay. Oh, well. But this worked for you then, Laura, the silly interpretation.
Yes, it did. I think it lends itself to humour. There's a lot of silly. The plot is silly.
Yeah.
D'Artagnan just falls madly in love with a woman. chasing her around and just doing her bidding at her whim to save, you know, a queen who's just having an affair, and that's who we're rooting for. For her to cover up her affair.
I loved how D'Artagnan was the hero and was sort of almost naively loyal and honourable, but was also like so pushy with with this girl that he'd fallen in love with.
Who was married, actually.
Who was married, going after a married woman. Like, basically making no attempts to conceal this even from the husband or anyone. Just, like, leaping on her, just completely going for it. No sense of, like, personal respect or boundaries with this woman. And fortunately, she just totally went along with it. His actions were those of a villain. In another film.
All the protagonists were. This is what I mean. Yes. All the protagonists were villains. They're all behaving appallingly. One of my notes,
grey morality of the Musketeers. I thought they were meant to be sort of Robin Hood figures, but I think they were more, I don't know.
Totally just out for themselves.
Yeah. But they had this strict moral code where they stuck with each other and they had a sense of honour, didn't they? But they just didn't have it all the time. Like if they vowed to do something, that was sacred.
They were happy to rob people in a pub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know.
D'Artagnan reminded me of Austin Powers in the...
That's quite a good call, actually.
Oh, I see. He was one of the actors in Austin Powers, of course.
Oh, Exposition or whatever you
name. Yeah.
Oh, is it Basil Exposition?
Basil Exposition, Michael York.
But I am speaking to you, sir. Turn if you're a man. Let us see you laugh now.
I had to look that up because I was watching him thinking, I know this guy.
I know where you know him from, mostly. His Gilmore Girls.
Yes, yeah, that was
Who's
the first
one. Who's he in Gilmore Girl?
He's the...
Asher Fleming... The professor that Paris falls in love with.
Never seen Gilmore Girls. So, Kira's told me all about it, though.
Any other roles you want me to explain to you in films you haven't seen?
He go into a phase of explaining all the plot pieces of Gilmore Girls. I thought I might have recognised
the characters. He's not a major character.
Okay.
He's in it for like maybe one series.
I've just watched Michael York in Logan's Run. Has anyone seen Logan's Run?
I have not seen Logan's Run.
I saw that a long time ago.
You would hate it.
Really?
Yeah. I liked it. It was really sort of silly 70s fun.
Proper sci-fi B movie, right?
Yeah. Fantastic stuff.
I'll give
he
that
also
one.
Plays a sex pest in that film.
Brilliant. Yeah, he's like... who's the guy in Evil Under the Sun? With very distinguished British voice.
Oh, James Mason.
James Mason.
Ah, right, yeah.
I thought to start with, hang on, is this James Mason? But it was the wrong era, so it couldn't have been. Mm. Yeah, I've got them mixed up before. James Mason and Michael York.
Yes, they both... Yeah, they do sound a bit... hard to put a finger on it.
Yeah. It's that honeyed voice.
Drawl.
So British, it sounds like they're faking it.
Yes.
I couldn't figure out if he was American or not. I thought he sounded American.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have that trouble with Michael York.
Yeah.
As I say, I think he sounds like an American doing a British accent.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, I never thought of that. That's interesting.
Maybe he's South African.
Maybe. I haven't looked him up. This was, it certainly wasn't all star, but there were a lot of stars in this, right?
Yeah.
Big
names.
Who did we have?
Michael York.
Michael York. You know, Oliver big names.
Charlton fucking Heston was in this.
Charlton Heston.
Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee. Spike Milligan.
Spike Milligan.
Raquel Welch.
Yep.
Yeah. Raquel Welch.
I don't think I have seen anything else.
You'll recognise her from the poster of 10,000 years BC, probably. She wore that famous.
Oh, it's her. Yeah.
So, Mr. Salt from.
Oh, I meant to mention him. Yeah.
Who was also in Help, right?
Yes.
The scientist's assistant, who's brilliant, but I guess he's mates with the director. Brilliant. Just bumbling. Comedy character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did it very well.
Roy Kinnear, apparently, his name. Yeah.
Kinnear.
Oh, yeah. Kinnear. Rory Kinnear's dad. Who did you like the best, Fernando?
Whom did I like the best? Let me see. Let me think. Was it the French king? It was not the president, right? He was the king. Yes.
I think I like the best.
Oh, he was good, wasn't he?
Yes.
What a joke of a character.
He was highly displeased because... But yeah, I did like him.
It reminded me of Alec Guinness's...
Yeah, me too. Instantly thought Alec Guinness, King Charles.
How far away are we from the French Revolution here?
We're further than I thought. I thought it must have been coming up, but I think this was set in the mid-1600s.
Okay.
So maybe 100 years before.
I thought it was even earlier. Let's find out.
Hmm. Yeah, give us a time.
I thought it was nowadays France.
Have you been to France recently?
Oh, no, you're quite right. 1625 and 1628.
Yeah, okay, so that's 150 years before the revolution.
Oh, they're fine then. Yeah, they can relax.
But, well, however, I think the storyline, even just the basic outline of the story, seems to betray a revolutionary attitude on the part of the author. Would you agree?
Then why do we care about the time period? Isn't this supposed to be like fiction? It can be in the future.
True.
It could be in the future.
What's your argument for that?
I mean, they could not have had an amazing idea, such as playing chess with dogs in the past.
That's true. That was ahead of its time.
Mm-hmm.
They did well to get the dogs to play chess for so long without descending into pandemonium. The dogs were moving well.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's canon. I'm not sure that was in the
demo. In the book.
Yeah.
We'll just have to read it and find out. But yes, I haven't seen that in any other adaptation, I must say.
That seems like a huge omission. That is in the book.
Really, it was only when the king left that they, you know, decided to stop playing chess.
Mm.
So it does work. We'll have to put this to the test ourselves. I can get two
lot of dogs.
How many dogs? There's no way of knowing.
What were we talking about?
Was the author a revolutionary?
Oh no, I think he was. Is there not a thing about Dumas? Did he not go to... Was he not imprisoned or something? Was he not part of the revolution? Or is I always mix them up.
1800s, I believe.
Okay, yeah, so there were a lot... I think most people were in prison at some point in the 1800s, weren't they? They went through a lot of different regimes.
Hmm.
But yeah, not knowing anything about Dumas, I would have guessed that he wasn't too keen on the monarchy.
I think he was part of that. I mean, he was definitely involved in the Napoleonic Wars, but I can't really remember.
Okay.
Also, his mother was a black slave.
Mm. Yeah. Really? Okay. Yeah, that is him then.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm.
Yeah, so the Count of Monte Cristo begins at the very end of the Napoleonic Wars, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I know that because Napoleon features.
Yes. Yes, and he like goes to prison and then doesn't hear about, or he goes to prison just as Napoleon is coming back to power, and then Napoleon's ousted again like 3 months later, and he only discovers this after he's out of prison or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Can't remember the details, but yeah, so he was writing after Napoleonic Wars. But yeah,
he was part of the revolution that ousted Charles X and replaced him with Louis Philippe.
In 1830.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm on the Wikipedia now. Apologies.
Cool.
I don't know any of this.
That's good to know this stuff. Yeah, so that was after the monarchy had been restored and before it was sort of removed again.
Yeah. So just to point out how ridiculous it is, I said I sometimes mix him up with Camus, who was not born until 1913. So that's how far off I was on which one of those might have been involved.
And also, he was an African footballer, right?
Camus.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Canu.
All right. The only book I've read was set in Algeria. I thought you were...
Oh, right. No.
No, okay.
So definitely different guy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, that was a fun segue.
Yeah. So the only reason I asked about that is it seemed like a real sort of character assassination of the entire aristocracy.
Yes.
Them playing this ridiculous chess game with some dozens of people waiting on them just so that they can move dogs around. Just this absurd thing they're doing. Their falconry. I'm trying to remember what happened now, but that. They like had these falcons and they were deliberately releasing birds only to have them captured immediately by a falcon.
Is that a thing?
No.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, it's definitely a thing that they like people keep falcons and fly them around. But I think this is meant to be just an absurd, like, what a stupid, ridiculous pursuit. It's just them... Just there's no sport in it at all. It's just it's like shooting fish in a barrel or something like that.
Also, I bet those were definitely real birds.
Yeah, it looked like it, didn't it?
But yes, continuously showing the king as a fool.
Yes, and his absurd fancy dress ball where they're all wearing silver and white and these crazy wigs and stuff.
I think that was accurate for the period, though.
Really?
I feel like that was really a lot of detail into the costume and the setting and the making it sort of quite detailed.
Well, if it was, then that deserves to be made fun of. Yeah, I don't think anyone felt too sorry for the king, did they?
I couldn't see much of worth in the Duke of Buckingham either, to be fair.
No.
Everybody's just sleeping with everybody in this film.
Yeah.
God, he professes his love to Anne, and then he goes off and shags what's-her-name, the evil one.
I was actually losing track of it.
All the women look identical, really. They look gaunt and their faces are basically just skulls.
Now that's a film worth seeing. But yes, they were. They weren't particularly useful, were they? All quite sort of mostly characters that had things happen to them. And were in need of rescuing and were in need of heroes to save the day.
Apart from the Milady de Winter, who was the evil woman, the blonde woman.
Oh, yes. Who
stole the jewels.
Yeah.
She was scheming with the car. I mean, she didn't have much power because she was just, she sort of failed and then was just told, she's told what to do by the men. But still, yeah. She's an interesting one.
Yeah, she was watchable.
Mm. I like that they got to have a sort of dagger fight at the end, the women.
Yes, that was quite good. Yeah, the moment of high drama.
Although they were both really shit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's like incredibly choreographed sword fights between the men, and then these women are just bashing at each other.
Yeah. It reminded me of the fight scene in Bridget Jones's Diary, where they obviously don't know how to fight, and they're just like grabbing each other, just throwing each other around, and yeah, smashing through windows and stuff. I loved everyone must have enjoyed the action scenes with the big sword fights and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, even if it got boring after a while, some of the tricks they were doing and jumping through clotheslines and doing
random somersaults and yeah.
You great overgrown child! You love it! Come here! Come back, you rabbit!
That's entertainment, yeah. Right?
That's cinema, baby.
Show me the money.
I like to see men having fun on a set. Yeah. Getting into their costumes, doing some rolling, and having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, I could almost believe that they didn't need paid. They just wanted to... wanted to do some silly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they were lavish scenes as well. It must have taken a lot of work getting all of those just right.
Oh, yeah. They went on for a while. They were really well choreographed. Lots of different people.
I'm not hearing the appreciation choir. Is it not?
Or Fernando. Fernando, did you like the sword fighting?
More or less. I mean, yes. Oh. Yes, but maybe not as much as he did.
Yeah.
They did. Yeah. They dragged on a little at the end, I must admit. I was starting to get a bit sort of... When he couldn't get into the room and then he threw the thing in the wrong room. I thought,
There was a lot of variety, though, right? It wasn't like one of these films where it's just sort of people punching each other for 10 minutes and nothing really happens. It was every one of these was a different, interesting thing to happen.
It was a different thing to happen.
Yeah, different thing to happen, at least.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me.
I'm sorry.
Did anyone catch the bit where he slashes a guy's leg, but the wound has already been painted on?
Yes.
What?
In the clothesline fight scene, one of them is like, aha! And you just see a close-up of that, but it's already got them.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really great. I wish I'd noticed that.
Yeah. You're good with these as well, Claire. When we watched The Dark Knight Rises, you noticed Catwoman dancing around, kicking a load of people in the face, and one guy falling over that she didn't even go near.
That's fine.
Watch that again and again.
Yeah, because he's just sort of standing there and falls over. There's nothing, no one near him. Just like the football.
What other notes have we got? When it comes down to it, there wasn't actually very much to say about this film, except I liked it and it was silly.
It was. Some silly things in my notes. There's a bit where he puts out the candle, but they're in an incredibly bright room and it makes no difference. You know, when they're hiding, he runs over and puts out the candle. But obviously, I think this was a feature of the room that we were meant to use our imaginations to imagine they were in greater darkness than they were. Because obviously there was a scene in the forest where they were holding lanterns.
Yeah, they could only.
You
had to imagine that they could only see each other when they were shining the lantern on each other, because they were just, we could see them in perfect brightness, just wandering around pretending that they couldn't see each other.
Yeah, that was silly. Yeah, that's funny because that must have worked well on the page, but obviously you can't make a film where it's just basically a black scene for.
I mean, you can do a bit 3 minutes better than that.
Yeah, probably. I mean, because it was really easy to see what was going on.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I liked when he put the candle out and tried to do it by cutting the wick off with his sword, but screwed it up like 3 times and just went over and snuffed it out.
Yes. I really liked Christopher Lee.
Yep, did well. Rochefort.
I love watching young Christopher Lee. He's mesmerising. And old Christopher Lee. He's just a mesmerising character.
He's quite something, isn't he?
Mm. Have you ever seen The Wicker Man?
No.
Oh.
I think I've only seen this and Lord of the Rings.
I see. I meant to propose that we have a solstice special, but I forgot.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we should have done.
Yeah. Rats.
Oh, well, there'll be another one next year.
Next year.
I mean, there will be another one this year as well, I think.
True, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Wicker Man's really more solstice. About... It's a midsummer film, I would say.
Okay.
Being set at midsummer.
Oh, hang on. He was in Star Wars as well.
Yes.
The crappy prequels, Christopher Lee.
That rings a bell.
Count Dooku.
If you say so.
Some of the scenery I thought didn't look very European. So in the scene where they're traveling to England, it reminded me a lot of, I get this name wrong every time, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. You know, like the scene where the one with Tom Waits where he's looking for the vein to mine.
Yeah. The old prospector.
Prospector, that's the word. That scenery just reminded me of that sort of, I guess, Midwest.
Really?
Yeah.
The Great American Prairie.
Yeah, the plains.
Yeah. I think it was filmed in Madrid.
Interesting.
Huh. Madrid, yeah. So Spain is an odd one. You guys ever played GeoGuessr?
I have done.
No. Wait, have we played it together?
Oh, maybe we have. You get dropped in a random place in Google Street View and you have to guess where you are. But at any time, Spain, it feels like all bets are off. So many times I can pick all sorts of places around the world, but it turns out to be Spain. So maybe it's the same thing, Claire.
There we go. Yeah, it's not just me.
Why did they film in Spain and not France? Or not England?
They wanted somewhere to stand in for medieval Paris, didn't they? Or for like early modern Paris. And probably real Paris is too busy and full of people, so they needed to go somewhere else.
Could have gone to the French countryside. Yeah. Why go to the Spanish countryside?
The countryside, you're right.
I suppose, I don't know if it was Madrid or this is Segovia in Spain.
Huh.
Who knows where that is?
Wherever that is.
Do you want another interesting fact from Wikipedia?
Oh, do I?
I'll get off of. It was meant to be a 3-hour epic included an intermission, but they couldn't finish it on time, so they just at the last minute decided that it would be two short films.
Oh no!
Some of the actors didn't even know this and went to the Paris premiere and were very angry because they'd only been paid to make one film.
Apparently. Jeez, imagine going to the premiere and then seeing that they were going to make another one.
That's quite good.
So now there's a thing called the Salkind Clause, so that productions can't be split into film installments without contractual agreement.
That's interesting. Well, a piece of cinema history right there.
Wow, fun. I wish it was a three-hour epic film.
I also wish.
I don't think it would have lent itself well to that. I think that could really have killed the energy of it. So you're saying they filmed all of it,
yeah,
and then but they had only edited the first half of it together, out, and said we'll just have to finish up the other half later this year.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay. Right, which explains why they had it all ready, because it surprised me a bit that they'd already filmed large parts of the second installment before the first installment come out, but it's because they just did it all in one go. Excellent. Mm. Yeah, I think 3 hours of that straight would have got really tiresome.
What?
It's cumulative, Michael.
It's cumulative,
yeah, maybe. I mean, I haven't seen the second one, so maybe it really changes in tone somehow. I don't think
it doesn't. You can tell I was surprised, because I didn't know that while I was starting to watching the second one. I was like, wow, this is like a straight, it might have been a minute since the last one ended. This
okay. I'm definitely watching the second one. So what was the deal with, there was like a third and a fourth one?
At least a third, called The Return of the Musketeers.
Was that meant to be part of the first film?
I'm not sure.
Just because you mentioned it, I looked up Segovia. I'd like to go on holiday there, if that's all right, Michael.
Okay.
It looks really cool. Well, it looks really warm, but like a nice place to visit. It's got some nice old buildings and stuff.
Cool, count me in. I did sort of swear that I put all this effort into learning French, and I just sort of say to myself, I guess I can just go to France on holiday from now on. But that's not an absolute rule.
I think it's in the French-speaking part of Spain.
That doesn't sound right.
I think I remember. I think I've been there.
Have you?
I'm going to have to ask my parents because they surely remember this.
Okay, so yeah, it looks like in the film.
Yeah.
Nice.
So another fact.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well, so the Return of the Musketeers was filmed in 1989. So quite a long time after, because the Four Musketeers was 1974.
Wow.
So it was quite a long time. So I don't think they were that planned, but most of the cast returned. 15
years later.
And then Roy Kinnear died following an on-camera accident in which he fell off a horse.
No.
What? Wow. Mm. This film killed Mr. Salt.
Yeah. Poor Veruca.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, he must have been really old by then, right? He wasn't young in this, 15 years later.
He wasn't that old in this, was he?
Yeah, I reckon he would have been. He looked 40 in this, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I've looked it up. He was 54 when he died that time later. Oh, that sucks.
Poor Roy Kinnear.
God, I don't think I want to watch it now.
I know. It killed a man.
Well, presumably I could just watch the first two, and if they didn't make the third one till 15 years later, you presumably don't need it.
Yeah, that sounds right. There we go. Conscience assuaged.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'm not saying therefore it doesn't matter that he died.
Not only did you die making a film, it's a film that Michael doesn't even think matters.
Can we do symbolism?
Yeah, please.
I feel like I've heard some mutterings that we should dispense with the symbolism section of
Let me get the bell.
Mutterings, you mean I've been grumbling it since we started this film club.
I'm open to voting. Excellent.
Symbolism.
Symbolism. Fernando, you sort of suggested that there might be something...
That's not symbolism. That's just...
Sorry, fetch the gong.
That's just reading what you see. Was that symbolism?
Well, tell us what you think, and we'll tell you if it's symbolism.
What do I think? Well, I think that everyone there was bisexual. That is what I think.
Okay. Here we go. Any evidence or just a feeling?
Well, the costumes, the way they were, they were speaking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The multiple colors. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
Kept trying to run each other through with swords.
Yeah, swords. Waving their swords around.
I thought Rochefort had a slight sort of Captain Hook style campness to his general demeanor.
And he cut off the end of D'Artagnan's sword at the start, emasculated him.
Yeah,
in front of all the women.
Not that that stopped him.
Yeah, well, he got a new sword when he joined the Musketeers, right?
Prosthetic.
Yeah. I was thinking he just sort of regained his masculinity.
More like he's va-va-voom.
He's va-va-voom. He's je ne sais quoi. Yeah, I think we're doing well here.
Yep.
So do you think the chess dogs are symbolic of the entire revolution?
Yes.
The dogs are the people that were involved. It all descended into chaos when there wasn't a king, wasn't it?
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Or...
Yes.
The dogs were being restricted by the monarchy from following their true nature, which was to gamble and play.
Yeah, oppression.
It was oppression of the dogs.
I mean, it really actually was oppression of the dogs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Also represented oppression of the people.
There you
go. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm convinced.
Done.
Yeah. Nailed it. We're all gay. Something about the king.
Yeah.
I've run out.
The diamonds.
Oh, the diamonds.
They're definitely something.
But what?
Well, I mean, it's got to be something sexual. It's always something sexual, isn't it? So
it's true.
So the diamonds were given to her by her husband, the king. She received love or trust or something, and she gave that trust away.
It's like that song Last Christmas.
Yes.
I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. That's what she did with the diamonds.
Next year.
It's a Christmas miracle. And D'Artagnan.
Why would you give a
D'Artagnan is Father Christmas.
Wow. Yes.
I see. Yeah, but who's Jesus?
There's a question.
Richelieu.
Yes, it didn't have much good to say about the Catholic Church, did it?
No.
No?
Kniving bastard.
Yeah.
Wait, who, the church or the filmmakers?
Yeah, both.
So you have cast us in the film?
Yes. I thought, okay, should we, are we ready for this game?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. Claire is Athos.
I don't know which one's which.
The leader.
Is that Oliver Reed?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, I'm the leader.
Yep.
He's the most objectionable one.
Oh. Yeah, sounds about right.
I like Athos. I thought it was a shame we didn't get more of the Musketeers, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think the film was too in love with Michael York.
It was a misleading title.
Yep. One musketeer and some of his pals.
Will soon be a musketeer and his mate. Okay, yep, I'm in charge. I like it.
Michael, I'm torn between D'Artagnan and Porthos.
I saw myself as a bit of a Porthos.
I went with Porthos.
It's like looking in a mirror right there.
Yeah. Might just be because of the hair and beard. Bolshy.
Yeah. So, Laura, I think you're Aramis.
Oh, I put Fernando as Aramis.
I have Fernando as D'Artagnan.
Well, this is interesting. I thought Aramis had a gentle, pensive quality about him.
Yeah.
Exactly. D'Artagnan was a... Oh, maybe you're right. They were quite similar, right? Aramis and D'Artagnan. Now it comes to
I thought they were totally different.
Ah.
D'Artagnan was impulsive.
They were all impulsive, weren't they?
They were all quite impulsive. But
Aramis and D'Artagnan both sort of had their heads in the clouds.
I thought he was jauntier. D'Artagnan was jauntier. He was very happy-go-lucky, kind of. Followed the whims of his heart.
That's true. You do follow the whims of your heart. Yeah, I'll go with what you say.
I don't know. I mean, could go either way. Saw myself as more of a Rochefort, to be honest.
Oh, if we're allowed other ones as well. Then Fernando's the king. You're Rochefort.
Lovely.
Claire is Milady.
Who are you?
Roy Kinnear. Very much see myself as the stooge running around after other people. Maybe the Duke of Buckingham.
He was a sensible one. He seemed pretty rational, apart from being taken in by Milady de Winter.
Yeah.
I think Fernando's Aramis, because he's cool, where D'Artagnan wasn't cool.
Yeah.
You're not cool, Laura.
I'm okay with that. I feel like I'm running around sort of provoking everyone into doing things in an excitable kind of, let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah, you're definitely the ideas.
Sorry, how was this film related to A Place Near Heaven?
God. That's a toughie. Oh, religion, Catholicism.
Oh, yes. I'm
saying about that.
Very different views on Catholicism.
Yeah.
Oh, they're very anti-elitist films, right?
Yeah.
Very much both had something bad to say about the rich and idolised poverty.
They didn't really idolise poverty, though, did they? Because the Musketeers didn't live in poverty.
Oh, no, that's true. Yeah, distrust of the wealthy.
Yeah, distrust of the wealthy, that works.
Wanting to join a gang. Like he was at the start of A Place Near Heaven. Was he not working for the gang?
Oh, yeah.
And what are the Three Musketeers, if not a filthy, violent gang?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of criminals.
What?
Do you know what? Keir Starmer would take them down.
Smash the gangs.
Smash the gangs, that's what he would do.
Evil criminal gangs. I look forward to it. What was their job? They were musketeers. It means they fire muskets, right? Big guns.
Yes.
So were they part of the army? Were they like were they the king's troops? They didn't seem to have like a superior officer who was asking them to do stuff. They just got a uniform and a sword and did whatever they felt like, right?
Yeah. I don't know that like the Three Musketeers were particularly representative of musketeers as a whole.
Okay, so they were like rogue members of the army.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I think. It was like a role in the army. It was like a centurion or something, or like a rifleman. Or I'm sure a musketeer was just one of the guys that had a gun when most people didn't have a gun.
Yeah. Didn't do a lot of musketry, did they?
No, well, it would have been a much sadder film because they just have shot everyone.
Yeah, that
wouldn't even have the same.
Not a lot of dashing fights and derring do.
Far less japery.
Just walk in with a gun and like, give me all your money and then walk out.
I tell you what, they had a very strong sense of professional identity, though.
How do you mean?
I mean, they just loved being musketeers. They were talking about it all the time. Being like, that's not what a musketeer is all about. You'll learn, don't worry. Oh, heart of a musketeer.
And why not?
I think we should possibly take on a new Mutiny on the Bounty-esque attempt. Watch all the versions.
Watch every version of Three Musketeers. I don't think I've got it in me.
I tell you, the plot becomes pretty repetitive once you
I bet. If there's a version with Marlon Brando, I'm in.
There probably is.
Oh, I can just feel myself falling asleep watching it.
Well, you know it can't be more than one in four of these films, right? So you'll be okay.
What do you mean there's two of you?
That's true. No, I've not bought in. On the strength, I mean, this was good. Don't know if I want to watch it again and again. And the one with Gene Kelly was a disaster. And all I've heard about other ones is that they were crap. So, yeah, I'm not. However, do kind of want to read it now.
Well, if the Count of Monte Cristo is anything to go by, it'll be quite a good book.
Okay. Oh, well, who knows? Start a secret book club. I've run out of things to
Me
say.
Me too. But this was we've had quite a long meeting.
Okay. Well, so, I guess we did have something to say.
Done.
Bam.
Shall I play the music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so the draw is down to Claire and Laura. And I just want to anticipate Laura by saying it's still 50-50.
I will behave. Behaving myself this time.
Thank you. We've witnessed you have a very slow breakdown over the last two or three meetings.
I had a reflection. It will be my turn eventually.
It will. If it's not this time, it will be definitely next time.
Yep.
And you've now, by the way, built it up so much that I'm nothing short of a masterpiece will be an acceptable choice from you when it is your turn.
I hope there's an appetite for the Nutty Professor.
I'm so close to picking the Nutty Professor last time. And I'm shocked to discover how close my pick eventually was to the Nutty Professor. I thought this was going to be very different. I'm not convinced it was.
I thought we agreed to save the Nutty Professor for when one of us dies.
Oh, yes, sorry. Shall I count the two of you in?
Yes.
Yes.
Three, two, one.
Paper.
Oh. Damn it.
Oh, Claire's got it.
Yes.
We'll have to wait one more time for Laura's.
So fine with this.
So I
don't mind.
Cool. Well, so one that's been on my list for a while, and I feel like in the context of your recent trip to Warsaw,
ooh,
I will suggest The Pianist.
Mm.
I have never seen.
2002?
Yes.
The Pianist.
I don't think it's a light film. It might contrast quite a lot to...
Yep.
Have a fun time connecting these next time.
Yeah, Jesus. Pianist, 2002.